You know, it's not the easiest thing, just based on verbiage and terminology and what system he was in before this. Our system's not the easiest to learn, but again, the things that I've heard about him and know about him, very smart guy, he's going to work extremely hard, and he's figured this out. I'm going to help him as much as I can, but we got a lot of guys in this building that are at his aid, willing to help and at any point that he asks for it, so no doubt he'll get in tune real quick.
Josh Allen talking about the new guy, Amari Cooper. What are you feeling for him? I think is going to be the real question here. How much do you expect for Amari Cooper to play tomorrow against the Tennessee Titans?
Red zone snaps, fourth downs, third downs. He's going to play probably 25 to 30% of the snaps.
I heard Mike and Chris yesterday, and it was more or less like, they were talking to Sal, and it came up of like, maybe get like a couple, like maybe 10 design plays for him. Where he probably ends up like a primary read of sorts. And then if you pull the trigger, you pull the trigger. If not, you know, but it's a way to get him some targets and get him comfortable introducing the offense.
There's a lot that goes into that I don't think everyone quite understands. Even between a home game and away game, you hear Allen talking about the silent cadence and all that.
Honestly, I don't know about red zone targets. You want to know why? You've got a lot of those options.
Yeah.
Knox finally caught his first one.
I know. Knox and Kincaid,
Kincaid's a guy that you should have there. Shakir gets loose in those tight situations. Mac Hollins has two red zone grabs this year for touchdowns.
Yeah. He just can't catch a deep ball.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Just don't send him deep.
Curtis Samuel needs to get more involved.
However, Josh Allen he sees deep, throws deep, does not care who it is. Josh Allen is the same player that chucked a deep ball to Pat DeMarco.
Yeah. I saw your tweet last week. Every time I see Curtis Samuel lined up as a gadget player, I get nauseous or something along those lines.
Part
of my soul will die or whatever. But I completely agree with that. He needs to be like in the slot doing something else instead of a gadget.
There are two things throughout the start of this sports season that I've been dead on about. One, the Buffalo Sabres need to play every game with penalties turned off because special teams have ruined them. Two, Curtis Samuel needs to just be deployed more like an actual wide receiver.
Let's stop with the gadget stuff.
You don't have to stop it. You just don't have to make it his entire identity.
Right. Line him up somewhere. He's got separation ability. I don't understand why they're not utilizing that. It's not like you actually went and sought him out and paid him a contract either. Wait. You kind of did.
Yeah.
And in the absence of Khalil Shakir last week, or still basically in absence, he was still injured. You could tell just by the way he was playing.
But definitely 2 weeks ago.
You were throwing Mac Hollins deep balls.
2 weeks ago, Curtis Samuel had negative total yards.
Yeah.
He had one carry for minus 1 yard, and he had a catch for zero.
Send him down. Like, what would it hurt at that point? Instead of Mac Hollins, just send Curtis Samuel deep. You know?
Exactly.
Like, what would that have hurt?
I mean, I guess height.
Yeah, but also speed.
But also,
he can pull away.
In that Houston game right at the end there, that third missed pass, Samuel's open in the middle of the field. Allen has to short it, though, because he's under pressure.
Yeah.
So, and he knows he cannot take a safety there. So, it's not like Curtis Samuel doesn't get open.
No, I think he needs to be utilized more.
He needs to be used as a wide receiver, because now he probably becomes a third option at wideout. And that's far more comfortable for a lot of fans. And that's something that I think that we were all banging the table about in the offseason was, you know, don't go in there with Khalil Shakir as your number one wide receiver. Keon Coleman obviously has had splash plays. He has. However, that's essentially what they did was they came into the season with Khalil Shakir as the number one wide receiver. And I love Khalil Shakir. You know this. Everyone knows this. Or everyone should know this.
I'm a big fan.
Zach Jones got me bought in immediately the second he was drafted. And now he becomes your slot guy, but also probably your second read on the wide receivers.
He's your safety blanket. He's essentially what Cole Beasley was at his prime on the Bills.
And how good is he at doing that? He's so good at it.
Yeah, because when he's not on the field, you lose that safety blanket and you saw that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no. I'm even just talking statistically. I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, okay.
As to how good is he at moving the chains. He has 20 receptions this year. How many are first downs?
Over 15.
You're close. 12.
Okay.
Still, 12 out of 20
yeah.
are first downs. And
you're over 50%.
And if you want to count the targets, 12 out of 21.
Yeah, and he didn't he break a record?
He did break the record for most consecutive targets caught. Mm-hmm. And then in that Baltimore game, when there was a pass slightly behind him, it gets broken up. And I went, all right, yep, we're actually losing this game because Khalil Shakir just had a pass interrupted.
I remember when you said that we were sitting out, yep. we were sitting out in the newsroom watching.
I knew we were done that yeah. moment.
Yep.
But he still is.
He's been solid.
He's
more
been,
than solid.
He's been solid. I will say solid's the right word.
Just got to get 100% healthy.
He's
again.
Just got to get healthy there. Keon Coleman, though, he's had big plays. He's led this team in big play receptions over 20 yards. Five.
Mm-hmm. He's dropped a few, and that's what everyone focuses on.
He's dropped a few, and that's going to happen with a rookie.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not
but
gonna...
his contested catches so far this season that he's actually
been trying,
made,
yeah.
it's been impressive.
Like, and also, he's been getting some separation.
Yeah.
Because those two touchdowns that he scored this season were, he got separate and then stormed up the rest of the field and scored.
Yep. And I agree with Alex Brasky. I think that's a great thing that Cooper comes in because now it might pull off of Coleman. It might pull off of Kincaid. And then your offense
you're
becomes...
You're going to get a number one corner treating him like that.
Yes, exactly. So your offense becomes three-dimensional once again.
Your lesser options become more dangerous when mm-hmm. they're facing lesser competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sauce Gardner can go on any of those guys last week.
Oh, yeah.
And not have any problems. However, DJ Reed drew a couple flags.
Couple. He was getting bullied, basically, by the referees.
He was getting bullied by the referees.
Yeah.
And that is with a Bills offense and a wide receiver core that is not the most talented at that point. You can torment a lesser corner now because there's someone that has to get Cooper's attention.
Right. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So within you know the time the Davante Adams trade happened, the Jets went from having one of the least complete, quote-unquote, offenses in football to having one of the best-looking offenses in football. Do you agree that it's like the, quote-unquote, best-looking offense in football, I guess, these talking heads are saying? I know.
Paper,
I don't normally...
Looks, here's the thing. When you add a number one receiver, things look prettier. We just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo. We just talked about it. So, of course, it's going to look prettier.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson's a number two target? Because let's be real. Adams is going to get fed.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get force-fed.
But now, Garrett Wilson...
Is free.
...is getting that number two corner attention that we just talked about.
Yeah.
How DJ Reed started seeing more of the color yellow than a highlighter.
Yeah.
Like...
And it wasn't just a mouthpiece. There were flags flying all over him the entire game.
Oh, my God.
That game was bad.
Hey,
that was just disgusting.
I wrote a couple jokes about that in the Wandering Thoughts article this week.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that June 14th is Flag Day?
I did.
The referees would make you think it was October 14th.
Yes. I remember they used to have us sing the Flag Day song as school came to a
yep.
close.
Yep. So, the referees in that game would want you to believe it was October 14th that was Flag Day.
It's funny that it's the 14th.
Yeah, it was. That was the weirdest part about mm-hmm. it. I was like, I want to make a joke about Flag Day. When was Flag Day? Oh, it was also the 14th, but of June. Okay, yeah, I'm putting this in there.
We're a few months late, but we got it. We got it in.
And if I want to watch zebras, I'm going to go to the zoo.
Yeah. There's also a good movie called Racing Stripes where a zebra tries to be a racehorse. You ever seen that?
Yeah. So, honestly, we didn't have enough time for the booty cheek of the week, and I guess I could extend a little bit more of it now that
okay.
like we had a little bit of time.
The referees were definitely
the referees of that game
yeah.
were definitely supposed to be on that radar.
Mm-hmm.
I got mad at the Buffalo Sabres, and we were late on time. But there were so many things. Like, you mentioning Jerry Jones absolutely is one that should get a little bit more attention, and I wish that we had more time today to do so.
Jerry Jones surrounds himself with yes men.
Yes, he is the actual...
And that's what bothered me about it, is that, like, oh, you don't like what... Like,
I'm going to tell you right now, by the way. Like,
when you take a hard question, he's like, well, I'm just going to... I'll make you to lose your job.
So, ready? Ready? We work in radio.
Yes.
Quite literally, I'm sitting in a chair where like something like this could happen, and I'm going to tell you 100% of the time on this one, I'm getting my butt fired so fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't take that. Come on.
Yeah. And And I know that it's like it's Dallas and it's a big market, so that's probably a really nice, comfortable job, and it's very competitive with ratings and everything like that. So I am speaking a little bit away from the experience that we have, because you know we're in Buffalo and we are the only station within this market, and you know our competition is outside of the airwaves. It's in podcasts.
Yes.
So that part I don't understand, and that part is something I do not have the opportunity to adhere to, so to say. So I'm not worried about not that I'm not worried about competition, but it's also I know I'm not getting very far in this business because of how I conduct myself with this show. And it's not that I don't care, it's that I want to be genuine. And for example, like that's why I know I would never be capable of even like if I wanted to hold the feet to the fire of our coach with Sean McDermott, I would probably not do it in a way that is very cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here on Saturdays. And I know that about me.
Yeah.
So when I say I'd get myself fired, it is not out of a disrespect thing. It is out of a being genuine thing.
Yeah.
If I'm genuinely curious about something, I'm going to ask about it. If I'm genuinely upset about something, I'm going to rant about it.
No matter whose toes it steps on.
No matter who it is.
Yeah.
And it may be harsh to say, but within the NFL landscape and within major sports itself, coaches do ultimately exist one day to get fired. It's harsh to say. And it may be even uncouth to say. But that is what I believe, because it's not fair. And that is why they are compensated for the unfair landscape that they have to deal with. That is how I know I'd get myself fired. It's because I don't care if it's unfair to you. You have something that is one of only 32 in existence, an NFL owner. And if you don't like that I'm saying that your team is not doing what you said it was going to do this year when you said it was an all-in push, and you're behind the Washington Commanders, you better expect the tough questions, because you make it all about yourself when they succeed. You better make it about yourself when you fail. And if that happens to the Bills, I'm saying the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Because I can say it about the Buffalo Sabres right now. You introduce yourself as the owner, saying we exist, the sole existence of this team is to win a Stanley Cup. And when you say that, you've done the literal opposite. And I know I will never have the opportunity to ask Terrence Pegula a question about them, about either team. But if I did, I would say something that would get me in trouble. Not because I'm edgy, because I know that's what the people want to know. And it's what I want to know. So, like the Jerry Jones thing, like
that's a not, very valid boogie I'm not to get
saying
a leak.
I'm not saying it to be a tough guy.
No.
I'm saying it because part of it is a lack of, I don't want to say lack of self-respect, but a lack of acknowledgement for the job, so to say, because it's about relationships. But at the same time, we are public servants of a sort. We're here to entertain you.
Entertain, inform.
Inform you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not doing that, get us the hell out of here.
Yeah, to the best of our ability.
None of you guys is entertaining.
Yeah, I can already see the tweets coming in. Yeah, the tweets coming in.
All right, we got to be in and out. Why? Because we got Carl Jones coming on with us, Channel 4, jumping on with us again here. I love talking to him back in September. We're going to do it again because Carl brings some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we'll talk about the secondary and how they've locked things down.
I would hope so.
Here.
Yeah,
maybe. I know how to speak his language on this. Let's go. Carl Jones at the top of the hour. You're listening to WGR.